Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio. Here is Husker 24/7 senior writer, Brian Christofferson.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of a circus act.
Brian Christofferson.
Well, I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Brian Christofferson.
I kind of enjoy that.
Here is Brian Christofferson.
Hey, back with you. 8 o'clock. O'clock. 8 o'clock. Wrong letter, Andrew. 8 o'clock here on Coffee in the Morning on Hail Varsity.
Everybody shook. Folks just angry this morning.
See, we are live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hail Varsity Club. Why? Why are we angry?
Well, you shouldn't have brought up that audio of Spencer Lee's mom wrestling. Now you know she would whoop your tail.
Did I spark a fight? I feel like talking about his mom is like talking to Mike's daughter. Like, it just leads to something.
Yeah. Dude is volatile. I'll give it to old Sutter.
He's mad about everything. Mom on Twitter, because I was like, oh, I want to see like her.
Why she how she would put it on.
And then the first video that popped up was her wrestling in her living room and taking down, I don't know, probably.
I assume that
20,
was Spencer.
Was it Spencer?
Yeah.
Taking down Spencer, and nah, she can wrestle. I'm not saying I was going to win. I just poke fun at the thing.
You get whooped.
Yeah, I would. I know I would.
It's all right.
And I get whooped by a lot of people. Let's bring in Brian Christofferson, who probably could whoop me too.
Not Mike Sauter.
Yeah, Mike Sauter I could take down, because I really like pushing his buttons a little bit. But BC, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, you sound great, BC. Are you ready for Pro Day?
I guess so. I'm glad to hear you say I sound great. I don't know what to expect from Pro Day. I guess Garrett Nelson and Caleb Tanner are on my radar.
Side note, look at BC's jacket.
Should I look at BC's jacket?
Look at BC's jacket right now.
He's a vest guy.
Yeah. What is he wearing, though? What's on the jacket?
I can't see that. What is it?
BC, what's on your jacket there?
Callaway?
Oh, look at you two.
Unbelievable.
Twinning. I just like the fact he's in a sleeveless vest. Life. That's my gym. Oh, so BC, you're back to being everybody's favorite again, man, even your wardrobe, even when you don't even try.
And we didn't even call each other.
So we got Tanner, we've got Nelson. And, of course, you know, there's always going to be guys that are kind of on the fringe, not that they aren't, but that will come back and work out too. How much of this do you think will get the Rule factor where Matt Rule can call in some favors and say, hey, you need to come see these guys?
That's interesting. Yeah, I would think he could be useful, those guys. I know, you know, he definitely thought a lot of Garrett Nelson. I remember when the decision was made that he wasn't coming back, you know, Rule went out of his way to sort of say, this is a guy who represents, you know, what Nebraska football should be all about and things like that. So I would bet he gives a pretty good endorsement. You know, obviously he doesn't know Garrett as well as the guys who coached him during his college career. But I think there's other guys too, Bill Bush would give a great endorsement in that. But your point is well taken, Damon, and one I wasn't even really thinking a lot about is – you know, Rule having been in the NFL, having some of those links now, you wonder if that draws a few more NFL polos into the venue. I think they've had usually like 25 of them, so they do draw pretty well normally at Nebraska, but you'd love to see that become a thing where everybody feels like they have to be there, from the NFL to the CFL to whatever. And that hasn't always been the way it's been lately.
I'm going to bump off that question, BC, and ask this. If it isn't his connection to the NFL, how do you envision Pro Day going down if it's not as packed as, you know, we'd hope it be, because they're a new staff and they just don't have the recognition nationally yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, I bet they'll draw at least 25 NFL teams. That seems to be the norm. So they'll be a good audience. And I think Nebraska has those players where they're maybe not top end draft picked, but the fringe guys, you know, whether they could be drafted or they're free agents, are always very interesting to those scouts. You know, they like those matter as much to them and sort of their livelihood as those first, you know, three rounders, because, you know, those guys, we're not going to see like the head coach of these organizations there, but you're going to see guys who really care to go back to their team and say, hey, I got one for you. This could be my guy. I like Nelson. This guy can do this or that, or Caleb Tanner could see him in this role for us. And that's meaningful. I think those guys who show up for the NFL teams who aren't highest on the food chain in their programs, but you know, they want to give good endorsements and good recommendations on guys. So I'm optimistic for those guys. It's really interesting to me. Damon would have a better grasp probably of how he thinks he could fit at the next level, or if he can. But he was one of those guys who, you know, sideline to sideline was pretty good, played about more football than any Husker there's ever been. I know his career at times left people wanting a little bit, but I thought he matured a lot as a young man the last couple years of his career, and everybody said that. So hopefully that bodes well for him.
So if you're a guy like Trey Palmer, some of these receivers that are on the outside looking in, who throws today for Nebraska? Because as we've seen, there's always a method to the madness, and it matters who you're catching passes from. Who throws today, in your opinion?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's somebody I don't even recognize that's throwing to him. You know,
it's like, hey, I got a guy.
Yeah, he can get out. Trust me. You're just going to have to trust me on this. But, yeah, Joe Gans used to do it some. And obviously he's not around, so I don't know who that's going to be, or if they can dip into one guys who's a quarterback here. I don't know if that what the rules are. I think they could.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's usually somebody else. But man, I would want somebody who's a little dialed in, who's been going through some winter work and stuff. If I'm one of those guys, also a good chance for those guys if they have the confidence. If you're a QB on the roster, is hey, you want to see something?
1,000%.
Imagine if Jeff Sims walked out there and started throwing
it. You never know.
in front of the Nebraska media today, that might be interesting.
Well, you know, as much as Matt Rhule welcomes visitors throughout spring, maybe Cam Newton's coming here too. Who knows?
Hey, Cam, need a solid. Can you do me a solid?
Hey, BC, speaking of visitors, you know, Coach Rhule is welcoming, as welcoming, I should say, as a grandmother on Thanksgiving. He wants recruits on campus as much as possible, early and often. With all the high-profile recruits making their way to Nebraska this week and weekend, why do you think he values seeing the product so much when even he himself admits it may be a little disorderly at first as they develop a system?
Even if there is a little bit of disorder from the first week stuff where you're getting used to guys and sort of the setting you're at, I think there's so much confidence in this is how we operate, and put it up against other people. Let's see what you think. I know they are figuring some things out there, especially from the aspect of, you know, Tony White's role with the defense now, and he's obviously new to that staff. But most of those guys are very familiar with each other. And while Rhule, he was humble and said on day one the coaches were still sort of like figuring out how to, you know, get to their stations at this particular spot they're at here in Nebraska. I think they feel like they know each other pretty well, and it's going to come off pretty well. And the feedback we got too from a couple of recruits was that it didn't actually look like a first practice to them. And I mean, I don't want to put like a 16 or 17 year old like the voice of that necessarily, just one or two of those guys. But they were there, and we weren't. And they said that it looked pretty crisp, you know, for a first go around. So I think they also, you know, they believe in the way they treat players as people. And, you know, one of the things, Willis McGahee, the fourth, I talked to him a little bit. He was here Monday, and he's friends with Dwight Boodle and Corey Collier. And obviously those guys are still getting to know the staff too, because they've been here, you know, a couple months. But they told him, what you see on your trip is what they've experienced so far with this staff. It's real. It's not phony. That's what Evan Cooper told us too in January about Rhule. He said, it was the way he said it that stood out to me. He said he's not fake. He said he's not one of those dudes, you know, who's up, does like, you know, like the fake bro hug or something like that. It's a, like, it's a genuine deal with him that has always come across. And I think there's a belief that that will probably translate to people who are visiting as well.
God, you're so stinking perceptive, BC, because I think you're spot on. And I just validate you before my next question. Even having people that are recruited in our own house, it was like, hey, don't just come to junior day. Come any day of the week. Like, that's what we want you to see. That's where the real is the real. Junior day is cool, right? We like it, but we'll let you into our house any day of the week. You need to come see how it is. That confidence, and it's maybe not even that they're always going to do things right or, you know, be on point, but I think it speaks to your point earlier that he wants about as real can get, so he knows if Lincoln's a place that you can live.
Yeah, and also, if you don't. I mean, that's what he said the one time was, I want you to be at the practice because I'm not going to change how I coach for anybody that's on site. So this weekend when all the big timers are here and guys who are very good prospects, I expect from what we've heard, they're going to go about things just as they always have. And it's like, clearly, you know, this is how we operate. And if it's not for you, that's probably good for you to know that now. And it's good for us to know that now, because there'll be guys that see that vibe and they're like, this is what I want, in my coach. So, you know, I think that what you're saying, Damon, is important too. Like, we've made such a big deal about the March 24th, 25th week, and fair reason. But as if people have been paying attention, you know, Stone Saunders was a QB on campus yesterday. You know, they had a couple guys here, more than a couple guys here on Monday, and I think it's just going to be a steady stream of that. Especially great for local prospects too, I think, and coaches, where you're like, yeah, you want to pop down on a Thursday and do what we're all about. Doors open, and I think that's going to go a long ways.
How smart is he? Because he likes Sonder. He likes Stone a ton, and he's a 2025. So if anything goes south with your top target, he's still good for the next couple of years at quarterback without really the threat of people being scared off of competition. And because you're not going to, you know, let's say Saunders says, yes, he's a 2025 guy. I think it doesn't change the way that he can recruit. Whereas, and I saw it with T. Fraze, that changes the way that you can recruit if you have that guy on campus. Even though, full disclosure, BC, I don't want to play with guys that are afraid of competition, but sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes they just want to go where they think they're going to have opportunity. Doesn't mean you're afraid of competition. So
yeah,
staggering this current crop of quarterbacks on his roster with a really good 2025 may be as good of a plan if you don't hit your home run target in 2024. At least he's got options.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, people always have that in mind. It always gets thrown out first, like, oh, that guy's scared to go here because he doesn't want to compete. Well, sometimes people are just using common sense at it with a university, and they're like, look at the numbers at this position. It's just like such a log jam. And, you know, yeah, I could go in and knock some people out, but you do have to really be smart, and I'm sure the staff will be, with how numbers get distributed by class as they go forward. That's something they'll have to work out with this roster. Like, you know, you don't want to be just heavy on in one class and then you're light on the back end. So that's something that you have to make sure they're right at all the positions.
DB just said it. We got that vibe on Monday, but transparency, right? I mean, you're talking about players coming at any time and coach not changing his practice routine just to cater to a certain athlete so that they look fantastic. No, he's all about being transparent in that, and he's all about being transparent in regards to the media. If you didn't believe it now, BC, I mean, how refreshing is it to have a head coach in Lincoln that can just tell it how it is?
So far, I think it's been great, especially from a media standpoint. But I think it's good from the standpoint of how he's handled things so far. And I'm not, one to tell him how to operate. He knows plenty well how he wants to do things. Like the other day on the first practice when he just says, yeah, Anthony Grant's not here right now. He's suspended for this, and basically. And instead of letting around here where it can become a real sewing circle with like, oh, I heard this, I heard that. And you know, there's this game of telephone that goes on about every little thing. And some things that aren't even that huge of a deal become such a big deal because the head coach or somebody won't say something that you could just go out and put it to bed. And so I think at least in the cases we've seen so far, that is refreshing to me, you know, as he kind of went through. Yeah, these are the guys who aren't here. We're updating our roster pretty constantly on the site, and it's going to be open to you guys. We'll see how that goes on as you get into the season and how he wants to handle injury information and stuff like that. There could be differences with that. But I thought on Monday, you know, he didn't throw Anthony Grant under the bus either. He said he's a good kid. And he's a guy who's just got to work some things out, and you know, we'll see what happens. And there's a chance there, you know, there's a chance for him to respond to that. But instead of letting everybody else the story, the head coach said this is what happened, and there you go.
And the latest version of he plays chess, I play checkers. I know they're very particular about videos and pictures and what's released. Like it is highly, highly scrutinized. And so I've been watching, you know, for the last, whatever it is, because I don't have any, I'm a child, right? Two guys that I was a little concerned about, all of a sudden, are back on social media at practice. Marcus Washington, Miles Farmer. Something or nothing?
I didn't notice that. So
see, the numbers are different. They're throwing you for a loop, but I think it's just because I recognize their faces. Like it appears to be their back, because as you can attest, kind of a quiet off season in terms of him bringing up their names.
Yeah, you didn't hear a lot about them. I hadn't read a ton into it, but. That's a good eagle eye by you, and the hamster is spinning the wheel slowly in my head as I think about it. But Marcus Washington was a guy last year who was good for basically two or three catches a game. You'd set your watch to it. He would get you that. Maybe it wasn't more, but I think you saw the potential that he has another level in him in his final college season. Like even at Georgia Southern game, that Nebraska loss, if people remember the drive they had when they took the lead, they went 96 yards or something like that. That was kind of Marcus Washington show, and he came up clutch with like a big time grab. I think it probably should have been a touchdown. They marked him down at like the 1 foot line when they reviewed it. But he's capable of those type of plays. I think was trying to knock away maybe a perception that he had to work on the hands a little bit as the season went along. This is another opportunity with the new staff to do that. I'm sure with the new assistants too, there's a transition period of just getting used to this guy and, you know, seeing if you sync up. But yeah, that's good to see both those guys, because Miles Farmer actually was playing better football, I thought, last year as the season went along. 1,000%. And I know he's taken some hard He's taking hard critique sometimes from people, but I thought it was by far his best football. And he'd be one of those guys who, if he left, there would be some fans who would act like it's no big deal. And I would think, it's kind of a big deal. That's a lot of experience, position where you want it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I cheer for people, and those are two guys that I like personally, so I pay close attention to. But I understand, and I want to ask you this question. Change is difficult for everybody, you know, newcomers, old heads, coaches, players, administration. Coach Rhule and this staff has come in, Sean Padden, Dr. Elsa. I mean, they got some really bright people. Who do you think has had the biggest learning curve? Players, the coaches, or Nebraska's current administration? Because everybody's had to change.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a great answer. I don't know the administration people well enough and we haven't really had access to them, so I don't know where their minds are at. So it wouldn't be fair for me to say, I know I've heard, like, you know, Dr. Elza do interviews, and I think there's obviously a huge adjustment from.
How about just having 39 staff? That's got to be 38. That's got to be different for the admin on the surface, right?
Right, and figuring out exactly, okay, what is your specific role here, and what does this person do, and how you feed off each other and not step toes. I'm sure there's some of that that's going on. I'd have to, you know, talk more to those people to know, like, exactly where they're at. But I'm sure, I would guess, though, that, and it's a pretty safe guess, that they're a little bit taken aback by just, like, how everything's under the microscope here and passionate it is. I think you can kind of think that about Nebraska football from a distance and, like, oh yeah, they like it and stuff like that. And then you're actually in the area code and you're like, as they say, like a one state team. Now Creighton folks would argue with that right now with basketball, of course. you know what I mean? Like the pro team.
Oh, I get it.
The pro team within the state, just like I've always argued, like, per capita, the passion for Nebraska football is as big as you can find with any organization. It gets talked about probably more than about any team you can find. Like, I mean, if you go like the LA Tigers or somebody down there, they've got other things to talk about. They've got the New Orleans Saints and this and that. Around here, Nebraska is just constantly. What's going on with that program? How are they operating? Oh, did you hear this guy left? And this is conversation in March. And so I would have to think that's an adjustment for all of them. To real quick to your question, though, I think it's the players probably because it's just I just think the level of detail, as you heard players discuss it, they sort of add in winter conditioning and some of the team concepts that were used. Struck them a little different. Not that the other staff didn't try their things in the off season. They certainly did. And some of them were effective. But I do feel like if you listen to Ethan Piper on Monday, that guy is jazzed up about what's going on. Like with this,
he's in a tough spot too, right? Like I tweeted that to somebody yesterday, BC. I'm like, he said we were kind of babied or whatever. But real time, last year and the year before that, he only has his baseline. You don't know any different, really, until you see different. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain without feeling like you're rolling, guys.
Right. And it was just something in the way he spoke, where he was so bouncy about, like, what we've been through. Either you're bought in or not after going through the winter that they put through. And that had him excited because he was like, I know that I'm hitting spring football with guys that really want to be here, you know, at this point and all that. And I'm not – that obviously that was attempted to be established in the past, and it probably was with some degree of success. But there was a difference. There was a difference the way Piper talked about it with what's gone on and – this year compared to the past. There's no doubt about it when you listen to it.
So good,
BC. Brian Christofferson, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
Yep, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, B.
That is your senior writer for
Prompts 24/7. Another question I'm going to ask Sam.
Yep, and he's next. Sam McEwen is on deck. And something that BC said also prompted me to think of something. So it's a good thing we're talking to Sam.